Hello, it's Dr. Jeff with another episode of Talk Healthy Today. This episode will welcome one of my favorite guests, knowledgeable guests from the health and nutrition field. Practitioner Cheryl Myers is here today. You don't want to miss this episode. Better Nutrition presents Talk Healthy Today, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at europharmausa.com.
Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Dr. Jeffrey Burke.
Gout. Well, not something you hear much about these days. In fact, you might think that this condition died out, well, after the Dust Bowl. But this old-fashioned ailment is making a comeback and now affects approximately 3 million Americans. Are you at risk? Find out as health expert Cheryl Myers joins me today to talk all about this painful condition and the steps you can take now to avoid a future bout of gout. Cheryl Myers is an author, practitioner, and an expert on integrative health and natural medicine. She is a nationally recognized speaker who has been interviewed by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Prevention Magazine. Her articles have been published in such diverse journals as Aesthetic Surgery Journal and Nutrition and Complementary Care. And her research on botanicals has been presented at the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology and the North American Menopause Society. She's a well-known advocate for bridging the worlds of mainstream and natural medicine. A graduate of Purdue University, Cheryl has been clinically certified in oncology and gerontology, has an additional degree in psychology, focusing on physiological brain function, and is the head of scientific affairs and education for Europharma Incorporated. Help me welcome my guest, Cheryl Myers. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi, it's a delight to be here today, Jeff.
You know, it's funny, in this opening I was talking about some people think that gout is gone. You know, I've been hearing about gout for such a long time. Not a lot, not like other things that we hear about every day, but I don't know if it ever really disappeared completely.
Oh, no, it hasn't. You know, when we look at gout, there's more people than ever that are experiencing difficulties with it today. Sometimes people, they'll mistake it and call it other things. They'll say, oh, I've got some arthritis in my feet, or I've heard that, when in fact it's gout or gouty arthritis. Gout is an extremely painful disease when you're having a gout flare-up, and it tends to come in flares, and then it'll settle down for a while, and then it flares up again. Gout can just be almost unbearable. So what happens is our body has a compound in it called uric acid, and if you have high levels of uric acid in your bloodstream, you're much more likely to have gout because this uric acid isn't metabolized quite properly, and it starts to crystallize. And it likes to crystallize in our extremities, the places farthest from the heart, because, you know, the further you get from the heart, the more the circulation slows down a little bit, and it's a little sluggish, and those crystals get deposited. So it's no coincidence that very often the first symptom of gout is an extremely painful, red, swollen big toe. And I've had patients that had such terrible pain with their gout that they couldn't even sleep with a sheet over their feet because the weight of a single sheet was too painful on their toe. So they either had to sleep with their feet uncovered or actually have a little metal bridge at the bottom of the bed to hold the blankets up so that it didn't touch their skin. So it's usually not a life-threatening disease, but it surely is a very miserable disease, and anything that we can do to reduce the risk of getting gout in the first place or the risk of recurrence of bouts of gout is a helpful thing.
Maybe a risk of quality of life.
Absolutely. You know, and it can be disfiguring, too. If you have a lot of gouty arthritis in your hands, you can get all kinds of odd bumps and growths that are starting to protrude, and it's just... It's not only is it painful, then it's sort of disfiguring as well. So I think that looking at what causes individuals to have gout in the first place and what kind of interventions can we provide from a natural perspective to help prevent these flares and to help get people healthy again is always a good thing. You know, they used to call gout the rich man's disease because it was noted that people who ate lots and lots of red meat, the people who could afford to eat the meats and the cheeses and drink the red wines, had more incidence of gout than poor people that were maybe living on gruel and a couple pieces of vegetable that they were able to pull from their garden. And it is true that when you have high levels of meats, you do create compounds called purines that turn into uric acid, so you can raise your uric acid levels. There is a slight dietary connection, but it's not quite as strong as it would have you, when you look historically, as people would have you believe.
Now, when you're looking at gout, if we have to talk percentages, is it inherited? Is it mostly diet-based? Is it obesity-based, people that are more inactive? I mean, is it dehydration? Are there a lot of different factors that add up to gout?
Well, absolutely. Well, one of the biggest risk factors for gout is age. As we get older, of course, the more we're exposed, the more we have some changes in our body that would lead us to have more of a risk factor for gout. You're absolutely right that obesity plays a role, because your body produces more uric acid, and your kidneys, the larger you get, the more difficulty your kidneys have at eliminating uric acid. So that means you're just going to have more hanging around, just waiting to cause trouble. There are certain medications, like if you're on diuretics, thiazide diuretics, medications to lower blood pressure that also cause you to urinate quite a bit can be somewhat dehydrating. And it's been shown that if you don't have adequate amounts of hydration, you're at much greater risk for gout. Now, it is true that if members of your family have had gout, you have more risk of the disease as well. But it's not, they haven't discovered or figured out exactly what the genetics of that might be. So if you've got gout in your family, it's something you might want to pay attention to. It is true that if you eat a lot of meat and seafood and a lot of fruit sweetened, beverages sweetened with sugar and fructose, that they do have higher levels of uric acid in the bloodstream. So does alcohol. But there's also individuals that, people that are following paleo diets that have no problem with gout whatsoever. So it might have something to do with the way that we're raising our standard meats today, that if you're eating organic and grass-fed, that might be a whole different situation than if you're eating hamburgers from McDonald's.
Now, if you've had painful gout flare-ups in the past and you change your diet and you do the right things, and we'll talk about supplementing accordingly, can you keep it from reoccurring? Can you maybe deter a flare-up? Can you reduce the intensity of a flare-up?
Well, you absolutely can. One study showed that if you just commit to drinking 8 ounces of water every single day, that you can cut your risk of a second flare-up from gout by 50%.
Oh, my goodness.
Just by getting yourself that hydrated. That's bigger than any of the medications can provide.
That's true. Oh,
and for most people, it's free, except for the filtration system, right?
Yeah.
So you, when you look at that, so I think the very first and foremost thing people should do is to look at bumping up your water. If you've ever had a flare-up of gout or it runs in your family, pay extra attention to your daily hydration. And by the way, Coca-Cola doesn't count. Sugary beverages don't count. What counts is good, clean water. I might count green tea in that. That's pretty healthy as well. If you are at risk for gout, there's also anything that helps the body get rid of uric acid and helps you helps to prevent the crystallization of uric acid is useful as well. And one of the most important natural compounds that they've examined for that is cherry. Turns out that cherries and cherry juice and cherry extract can be highly useful in helping individuals who currently have gout or have had a history of a gout attack in the past.
Huh. You know, and I think the thing about it is you know, I've had friends that have had gout, terrible gout flare-ups, and many of them, I think they've had painful things in their feet and toes before, but they never really related it to gout until they had something that was so debilitating that they ended up at the doctor, and then they were diagnosed as having gout. And, of course, you know, given medications, you know, like your allopurinol and things like that, or anti-inflammatories or prednisone and things like that. And they would get it under control. And, you know, and in a short period of time, they were still doing all the same things they were doing before. And then it wasn't too long when they got another flare up. And for some of them, it took a couple of them to really kind of resonate that they could really change things if they would just change things.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Some people have one gout attack and they never have another. But most people who have gout, they once you've got that problem with uric acid, they often have secondary, third, you know, they have more and more attacks, recurrent gout. And if you don't treat it, if you don't try to get it under control, it can actually erode the joint. It can, the inflammation that it causes and the deposition of those uric acid crystals, which are very sharp and uncomfortable, you start depositing those in the joint, and it can start to damage the joint permanently. So this is not something you should try to tough out. This is something you should try to get on top of as much as possible.
Now, nutritionally, supplementation-wise, where should we start?
Well, as I said, you know, I think that everybody should have their basic foundation. I think a healthy multivitamin and mineral formulation that has chelated minerals. I'm a big fan of chelated minerals because they're better absorbed. And the bioactive B vitamins in their human form, not their inactive form. I sometimes jokingly call those the Cadillac Bs. Those kinds of things I think are really, really useful for people ongoing just to keep their body healthy. Omega-3 fatty acids, I'm a big believer in that. And, you know, sometimes a healthy probiotic on board as well. But above and beyond just your basic foundation for everyone to stay healthy each day and every day, I think that cherry is really, really interesting. That of all the fruits out there, it's not the peaches, it's not the cantaloupe, no. It's not the bananas, it's not the pineapple. It turns out that cherries have compounds in them that are just really, really good at helping to eliminate uric acid from the body.
You know, and you could actually do that in a couple different forms, too, liquid capsules. And I have a friend who has had gout for years, and when cherries are in season, I think she fills an entire, she freezes them. And it's the craziest thing. She's always got a bag of them with her, and she stockpiles them. I think she corners the market in Las Vegas on cherries. And she has them available to her all year long, and she said she will never go back to suffering again. I mean, she suffered so badly, and then changed her diet, drinks water, does all the right things. And I think she's about 5 or 6 years now without a flare-up, and she said she'll never allow herself to go back to that again.
Well, you know, not everybody is as fortunate, and they don't plan ahead quite as well.
True.
With looking for how to get the cherry in their body every day and which kind is best, and there's always a debate on that. I personally think that all cherry is healthy. Some of the recent research, though, has shown that tart cherry contains a little bit higher level of these compounds called anthocyanins. And these anthocyanins are the flavonoid compounds, and they are also the antioxidants inside of cherries. And they're unique to cherry. I mean, there's anthocyanins in other types of fruit, but the form that's in cherries are unique, and they do play a role in helping to reduce uric acid in the body. And if you like to eat cherries and you have the funds and the availability to eat cherries every day, then absolutely. I've also heard of individuals who make their own extractions of cherry using vodka, but I worry that might be a little hard on the liver. But, you know, soaking cherries in vodka for a month or two and then having a shot of the red liquid every day. So, you know, it depends. It's not for everyone. And then there's also cherry juice. But the problem is that tart cherries that have the highest level of these compounds or has some really great clinical studies on gout are tart cherries, and you have to sweeten them up. And that's what concerns me, is if you're starting to do the juice, when you do juice, then you have to add some kind of sweetening agent, either an artificial sweetener, which I am not a fan of at all, or sugar. And most people probably just shouldn't have that much sugar every day. So I'm more of a fan of either eat the raw fruit or use a concentrated cherry supplement.
I think I agree. Remember to stay up to date on each and every show by liking our Facebook page or follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Let us know what your healthy favorite habit is, and then listen in. You might just hear it mentioned here on the show. For more information on understanding gout and other health and wellness topics, check out my favorite magazine, Better Nutrition, at your local health food store. Packed with well-researched articles, recipes, and tips, it's an indispensable resource for healthy living. Pick up your copy today. Today's topic of understanding gout and all of its ramifications is pretty important, but I want to make sure to remind you about the people who make this show possible. Give me 30 seconds, we'll get right back to the topic of gout.
Gut pain? Pain can wreck your life. Think of all the things you can do with less pain: garden, play sports, hike, travel, and really enjoy your life. Curamin relieves pain due to overuse. It's safe, effective, and guaranteed. What are people saying about Curamin? The relief I felt was unreal. Curamin is absolutely amazing. Ask for the Terry Naturally brand Curamin at your favorite health food store today. That's Curamin, C-U-R-A-M-I-N. Curamin will change your life. Stop pain now. Does not interfere with stomach, liver, or kidney function. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA, and this product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent disease. Stop pain now with Curamin.
Cheryl, I have a question for you, because once again, we're dealing with something that is, of course, inflammation-based. Would I be off base by saying that Curamin would be very effective?
Well, absolutely. For the pain, absolutely. Mm-hmm. To get right on top of that pain and that inflammation, Curamin would be a really wonderful intervention. It's not going to do an awful lot, though, for helping with the long-term issue of knocking down those uric acid levels and helping the kidneys to be stronger at excreting uric acid. So it would be an excellent protocol to help individuals with the pain because Curamin is the best natural pain reliever that also includes, as you recall, the curcumin, the boswellia, the DLPA, and the nattokinase. So that is very, very useful. But at the same time, I think that you also need to look at using tart cherries long-term to drink the 8 glasses of water every day. You put all these together in a health protocol, and I think your chances are pretty high that you're going to be very successful.
Well, you know, and I think sometimes people will say, you know, I'm making the changes, I'm changing the diet, I'm going to eat the cherries, I'm doing all this, but you know, just I need something just to get me through the day. And I think that's how so many people fall privy to opioids and pain medications and analgesics. So that's kind of the angle I was going at with the Curamin, because I think it would really at least give them the chance to attack the larger goal with a little bit more relief without having such excruciating pain underneath their belt. Because I've seen people fighting a breakout and an inflammation flare-up of this, and I'm thinking to myself, I can't believe the pain that you can see across their face.
Yeah, it's terrible. I think that you're absolutely right. That's an excellent suggestion to get something on board right away to help these folks with the pain and then continue to work to try to manage those uric acid levels somewhat through diet and activity, weight loss if possible. Even a little bit of weight loss can help the body move from a pro-inflammatory to a neutral state. Some people feel like, well, I'm 75 pounds overweight. I can't lose 75 pounds. No, maybe you can't, but you can probably lose 5 pounds. And some current science is starting to show that maybe being overweight as risk factors for certain types of diseases, it's not just the amount of weight you're overweight, but the direction your weight is moving. And so people that are, for example, let's say somebody's 50 pounds overweight, but they're continuing to gain a pound a year. They have their motion of their body that is moving towards gaining. Let's say another person's 50 pounds overweight, but they're in process of losing even a pound a year. Well, they're moving in a different direction. So it's not just about the volume of weight that you're carrying in your body, although, yes, that's important, but it's also about the direction in which you're moving. So if you can rein it in just a little bit and even take off a couple of pounds, that means your body's moving in a direction that is less inflammatory than if it's in the weight gain mode. Does that make sense?
It does. And, you know, just you're not running like the hare, but you may be moving like the tortoise, but you're still having progression toward a positive direction.
It shuts down some of those triggers. That when you're in weight gain mode, there are certain switches that are flipped. And when you're in weight loss mode, no matter how fast it's going, there's other switches that are flipped. So I think it's important that if you have any kind of inflammatory condition, don't get overwhelmed with, oh, my God, I can't lose 75 pounds. Or I can't even, maybe you even struggle with 10. Lose 2 then. You know, move in the direction of weight loss and you will settle down some of that chronic inflammation.
The other thing is, and I know this comes up frequently because I hear it and I get it through emails and stuff when people are talking about gout, and even though I made the recommendations to them, they want to know that if they do get it under control, can they eat red meat once in a while?
Well, as I said earlier, I think it's, you know, red meat is a pretty wide category.
It is.
And there are a lot of people with gout who do eat red meat, but I would go with the absolute healthiest grass-fed organic. You know, get the additives out. You don't need grains. You know, the grains change the quality of the protein. So if you go with it and more moderate amounts, I think that there are many people who can return to eating some of the foods they love, just make sure they're of the highest quality and more moderate, and that's not your exclusive diet. You know, I used to work close to a college, and those university boys away from home for the first time, and honest to God, their diets were just terrible. They would have a bagel or a McMuffin or something for breakfast. They would eat something for lunch, grab like a burger or a meat sub, and then whatever fast food they could pick up for dinner. And because of that, I mean, there were kids I saw that, young people I saw that might go a week or two or three without having a significant intake of a vegetable or a fruit. So if you're eating a healthy diet, you're eating a big leafy green salad with olive oil and lots of colorful fruits and vegetables, and you want to have a nice piece of grass-fed meat on occasion, that's a whole different situation than someone who's existing on burgers and french fries and Pop-Tarts.
Question for you, and I've been asked this before, and I'm just really curious to get your take on this. Vegetarian versus a standard American diet, or for somebody even eating a Mediterranean diet, less incidence of a flare-up with a vegetarian?
Well, there do seem to be some studies that show that vegetarian can be useful for some people, but I believe there's a lot of genetic factors that play a role. There are some people who are vegetarians that are robust and healthy and muscular and vibrant, and they never get sick. And there are other people that are vegetarians that, even if they're being careful about counting their protein and making sure they're getting complete proteins, complementary proteins, that are pale and underweight and get sick very easily. And they may even be eating the exact same foods. I think that there are certain factors that some people just thrive with a vegetarian diet and some people struggle with it more to find what they need or what their bodies specifically need in a vegetarian diet. So for some individuals, trying out, if they would like to try out a vegetarian diet, then certainly they could give it a try. But if it doesn't, I always say listen to your body. Mm-hmm. If you try it for a couple of months and it just doesn't feel good and you're tired or you seem to be catching things more easily, maybe it's not the way for you to go. And maybe it's okay to do a mostly vegetarian diet, but occasionally introduce a nice piece of fish or, you know, something like that, or a piece of meat on occasion.
You know, I've heard of people that had this so badly that they actually have had surgery to remove gout crystal, uric acid crystals out of their feet, and terrible, terrible, painful, debilitating surgeries. And the few of them that I know that have had this done, one was actually an uncle of mine. You know, and I talked to him about, you know, did you make the changes in the diet? Were you drinking the water? And he admitted he didn't do anything, even though he was told, you know, to do all this stuff along the way. He used pain medicine to cover it up during a flare-up and never did anything. And it finally got to the point where, you know, now he's living a life that is a lot different than he was before. And he sticks to it to the T now. It was painful enough.
Is he doing better then?
Yeah, he's doing better. The surgery was quite debilitating. He was off his feet for a couple months.
Oh, my.
And it was quite radical. And then while he was off his feet, he had to start eating differently. And he drinks water, no more sodas, quit smoking, no alcohol, no red meat. I mean, he cut all of that out. He says he will never put himself through that again. But I think he lost a lot of quality of life. A lot of coulda, shoulda, woulda is going on there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, this is a little bit of a strange sidestep. But you may have some listeners in your audience that are big fans of Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And there's a prominent character in there, the Prince of Dorne. His name is Doran Martell. And I don't think they call it gout, but the poor man has one of the worst cases of gout you ever want to see. So bad that he has to have this huge bodyguard lift him from his chair to settle him in his bed at night. He's in constant chronic pain in all of his joints. He can no longer walk but maybe a step or two. And I honestly found it to be, for being a fantasy show, a really strong, accurate depiction of people with the worst forms of gout, of how they suffer.
Wow. That even hurts me just to hear that.
Yes, it is.
You know, so if somebody just had to take away conversation from this today, a little piece of this conversation that maybe for themselves or somebody they know with gout, what should they take away from this segment?
That there's hope. There's things that you can do. Even if a lot of people, the medication doesn't agree with them, it has a lot of very adverse effects, especially on the gastrointestinal system, that there are absolutely things that you can do bring your water up. It may seem silly to you, and you may think, how can something as simple as that make a difference? But it absolutely does. Either start eating a lot of cherries every day or choose a cherry supplement. The tart cherry is best. Make sure it's freeze-dried, because if it's exposed to a lot of heat or drum-dried, you can lose a lot of the nutrients that help knock down the uric acid in your body. Yes, if you're in pain, Curamun's an excellent intervention. And just to do your best to eat as healthy as you possibly can, and things will get better.
That's some good information. I do appreciate that. If you're looking for some more information on overall health in general, and of course we talked about the Curamun, make sure to go to EuropharmaUSA.com. A good book you might want to take a look at, The Gout Cookbook, 85 Healthy Homemade and Low Purine Recipes for People with Gout by Monica Shaw. Also check out the Arthritis Foundation for extra information on gout, because this is something that you might want to take home with you, because it is good information. I'm Dr. Jeffrey Burke, and this is the Talk Healthy Today Show on Radio MD, brought to you by Europharma. Visit them at EuropharmaUSA.com for more information on this and all of my show segments. Remember to go to my radio show page at RadioMD.com. Look for the Talk Healthy Today show and the on-demand podcast of the shows available at RadioMD.com. I thank you all for tuning in and listening. I thank you to my guest. Stay well.